Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have got a lady that's not only got an interesting background, but she's put together a book that has a title that would automatically raise your eyebrows. The sky is green and the grass is blue. Now, what is we going to be talking about? How you can take your life, if it seems to be upside down, and turn it right side up. Deb Scott is my guest today. Deb, welcome to the show.
It is so great to be with you. I love what you're doing, Donna.
Well, thank you so much. You are really quite an interesting lady because not only are you your own talk show host, you're doing that at this time in your life, but you've been involved in being a consultant, motivating people. You've worked in various business and corporate environments. You really like working with the dynamics of individuals, but I thought it was so interesting because your background has 20 years of cardiac sales in it, and I thought, how many women ever would be in that kind of an environment? That is very unique. You are a gal that has gone through a few twists and turns in your own life, but how in the world did you ever get into cardiac sales? I've got to ask the question.
Yeah, you know, it isn't so much of life. We make plans and then other things seem to happen.
Right.
I went to school for biology. So my undergraduate degree, I was a major in biology. And I really was going to become a med tech. But being the conversationalist, I guess, I was not really having a big dialogue with blood agar and streak plates and things like that. And it was, you know, given to me as a suggestion to go into a medical sales type of arena. And I hadn't ever really thought about that. Probably like most people, my first impression was a salesperson. Oh, I don't know. That doesn't sound very good. I don't know. Something about that doesn't sound right. But once I started to investigate it, I realized that it really was an educational type of relationship with customers, and it was rather long term, and it was a lot of fun, and I got to use the biology, be in the operating room, work with cardiac surgeons, work with nurses, make a difference, bring some cutting edge products, and it was really a lovely career. For 20 years it really worked, but you know, that's something that is a skill set that I use today, but that was then, and this is now. So it is something that I think builds on itself. So thank you for asking about that.
How did you make the transfer into the business environment? Now, sales is a direct relationship to business because there isn't a business around where you're not involved in sales on one level or another. And without good salespeople, you are going to find yourself not functioning very well. So that transition into business, what made you shift from being in an area that was specialized to a particular medical orientation? How did you shift over into the business world, the corporate environment?
Well, that's another great question, and like many of your listeners, that wasn't something, and I would like to say that I had some real specific plan that created this transition, but it really was something that happened in my life. It was really at a point for me where I really needed to embrace some sort of a change, because that 20-year cardiac surgery sales, that was really, its time had come to an end with my mother getting cancer. And at that particular time, there was a buyout with a division at the company that I had worked for out of Boston, Genzyme, which many people might be familiar with, their biotechnology You know, they're very known for that. But they were selling that particular division. My mother was not feeling well. At that time, I didn't know that she had had cancer. And it seemed like a good time to take a break. And fortunately, I was very blessed with, you know, a good six-figure income in that industry for quite a number of years. And, you know, subsequently, I ended up taking care of my mother to her death. And she passed away in 05, and she was my best friend. And then my dad, after being married to her for 50 years, you know, he passed away the following year. And then a number of other things, twists and turns, happened. But it really became something where, you know what, this is not what I need to be doing. I did not feel that God was leading me to go back into medical sales. It was a time in my life where I needed to take those life lessons from work and business and life and the business of living and finish the book and work on getting, you know, the coaching certification and all of those things that are leading me into this wonderful new reinvention in my later 40s. Life begins, you know, at every single morning that we wake up, it's a new day, and then we can do new things. So it's really been an evolution of building on different skill sets, trying to be open to know what it is that God's given me that I need to give back to others.
Well, your book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, I thought had so many interesting points in it because there is no straight line in life. I haven't found it anyway. And if you ever find somebody that says theirs is, I'd really like to know who they are. Because
exactly.
I've been in counseling for so many years, and I'll tell you, the twists and turns that life can put you through, believe me, it's just absolutely phenomenal. And so learning how to shift in and out of these variables. You dealt with the death of two loved ones within a very short period of time. All kinds of other issues came up. You started asking yourself questions. Is this really where I want to be? And it's that questioning patterning that I think creates the critical opportunity for us. We may not like the process, but it really is the stimulus for us to be shaken up, to really ask ourselves what we value. Why did you feel that you needed to put this book together? And how in the world did you get the title, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue?
Well, you know, first of all, I just really want to pause and emphasize, because I love what you do in helping so many souls reach, you know, their greatness as well. But I do believe one of the things that created all of these changes has been suffering. And I think there's nothing like suffering to crystallize clarity as far as what we need to be doing. And sometimes, you know, the old saying goes, we don't change because we see the light. We change because we feel the heat. If all of us listening right now had everything the way we wanted in life, we'd have everything we wanted. We wouldn't want anything else. We wouldn't want to change. So it's only that discomfort, I think, that causes us to consider different options. And I know that it was that way for me. And, you know, the book became something that really people told me I should be doing it. When I was still in cardiac surgery sales, I would speak, you know, you'd be in surgery with these people for, you know, for hours, or waiting for a surgery and delays and cases and offices. And, you know, you begin to build relationships with people, and you speak with them, and they become part of your extended family in so many ways. And I had all of New England, plus I traveled, you know, all over the country as well. But, you know, Mass General has 47 operating rooms, so you could be there for a long time.
Whoa, 47?
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah. There's a lot. There's, you know, some big, big hospitals. But, you know, I think that just talking about life and things that we all deal with, because we all have so many things in common, don't we? We
Yes.
all want to be happy and loved. We all have pain. We all have things to overcome. You know, we get older every day. We have things. We have hopes. We have dreams. And people would say, Deb, you should really put that in a book. You know, Deb, you should put that in a book. Deb, you should put that in a book. And then I found myself saying, you know, really need to write a book. I really do need to put that in a book. And just the irony of life, the paradox of it all, things that, you know, people would say that didn't seem to be right, and so many things, and trying to find those good things in the bad things, and finding the miracle in that mess, and always trying to find hope in that everything in life is a gift, so that nothing is wasted. It felt so much better looking at the world that way. And the title, it was like a divine inspiration, I guess. You know, it seems like the sky is green. You know, it's, people are telling me it's green. It should be blue. It's all upside down. This just isn't right. And wrote it down, put it on my lamp, and it was on this hot pink sticky note. And years later, it was, you know, white, because it took about 5 years to actually get it done. But it was really a process, and my mother, before she passed away, made me promise that I would actually finish it, and I think that was really, really what really turned the corner for me to get it done.
Throughout your book, you have some exercises, and the first one in your book is for an individual to write out their first name, and then to, with each letter in their first name, think of something they're grateful for about themselves when they're doing this, and it's something that you have, something that you've received, whatever. It can be any place, person, any person, place, or thing, and you write it out. And I thought, that is a fabulous exercise. What a wonderful exercise that would be in a classroom with a bunch of young kids to say, all right, write out your name, and then take each letter of your name, write it out vertically, and then take each letter and write something that you're grateful for, positive traits you have, whatever. Your example in the book for Deb was D, determination to keep a promise, E, enthusiasm to write the book, B, belief that anything bad can be transformed into something good. I really like that exercise. I think that that
well,
is...
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate that. You know, I really do believe that, to me, a great book is something, and you've written, you know, books, and you're an award-winner writer, but I really believe that a good book is something, the best compliment you can give is writing in it and really highlighting it and using it and going back to it. And it should be something that really changes our thinking. And it's that old Albert Einstein quote, you know, once your mind is stretched to a new thought, it can never return to its original shape. And the idea that once we have a new way of thinking, it's like putting on glasses when you can't see. All of a sudden you have 20/20 vision and you're like, wow, how did I miss that? And on our own, we sometimes don't see those things that are great about ourselves. But when we're coming from a place of gratitude or service or looking at things that we're good at or talents, you know, it opens our heart and our mind, and that will transcend the family life. That will go into our business life. That will be a collaboration attitude versus a competitive attitude. And when we're in a place of peace and hope, and we're getting along with ourselves and enjoying our own company, and we like ourselves, then other people can enjoy our company and like us as well. But if we don't enjoy our own company, how can we expect someone else to? So the idea is that, you know, it's a simple, quick, free, it's not, a, you know, it doesn't cost a lot of money to do that exercise, or it doesn't take a lot of time, but it's a quick way to turn the key, the ignition in the car. It's a small thing we do, but it allows us to drive great distances. But if we don't turn that key, you know, that two-second effort, we have to take it, or we'll never get in a new direction. And that's what I'm hoping that the exercises throughout the book will do for people. It will be that little key to turn them to a new way of thinking, to get to a different destination, which is one that I think we all are called to be at, which is happiness. You know, I'm always talking about peace speech. I think it's something that we all deserve to be walking in that serenity sand.
I agree. Sometimes, dependent on our environment, what we have been exposed to in life, where we have been, what our experiences are, good, bad, or indifferent, it's so easily done to become totally isolated, feeling as if you are the only person that's ever gone through this experience. There's often sometimes feelings of shame that shouldn't even be there. But we all have to grow to find our own momentum, talents, capabilities. And as you said earlier, it's not usually the growth that occurs during the quiet, peaceful, happy moments. It's when we're going through a lot of pain, a lot of anxiousness, frustration, dealing with fear, all of these various components, however we want to describe them. But that's typically what motivates us, because that, like you said earlier, seems to be the impetus for most people in general. And you have some personal stories about yourself and your life in your book, but I was really impressed with the segment in which you said there was a saying, take what you like and leave the rest. And I thought that is so valuable. That is something that many times I've shared with people. When you go through your bullet points of experience and you feel like you've got all the bullets in you and it's causing you a lot of distress, stop beating yourself up and appreciate that you have this experience, learn from it, and get rid of the rest. Take the lesson and move on. That's not an easy thing to learn. That's a very, very difficult thing for most people to learn. How did you become aware of that?
You know, it's actually, that was one of the things that I would say was one of those bad things in my life that turned out to be a good thing. And the short answer to that was getting into an Al-Anon program, which is a free 12-step program. It's for people that have family members or loved ones that have the disease of alcoholism somewhere, somebody they know is an alcoholic, and that's what Al-Anon is. But basically, all these programs, all these 12-step programs, use the same 12 steps. And, you know, the first ones deal with your relationship with God, and then the others deal with your relationship with others, and you, it's the God of your understanding. So there's no sect or religious affinity for those who are not familiar with it. But for me, I was really unaware that this alcoholism in my family had been a training ground for the familiar, for me to be engaged to somebody who was an alcoholic, who didn't drink, because I thought, well, if you're not drinking, you're not an alcoholic. But then going back to the drinking, I realized that there was an issue, or that there were behaviors that created all those isms that many people are familiar with. And then it was my problem for being in that situation. And I had heard from someone, you know, you've got to go to Al-Anon. You really need to. And I resisted and I resisted and I resisted, probably pride and ego and all of those things that, you know, we all deal with every day. And when I finally got in there, and I was really to the point of tears, I dragged myself in. I was in so much pain. I was looking for an answer. I was going in to get a cure for my fiancé. And I really wasn't in there because I thought the problem had anything to do with me. You know, it was everything else except for me. I was the only consistent part of the equation in my life, but I wasn't looking at the fact that maybe I had something to do with it, right? And I went in to the point of tears and heard these people talking about this being, this alcoholic person in their life, was the best thing that happened to them, or it was a blessing because it, you know, they were so grateful. And I'm thinking, these people are crazy in here. What's wrong with these people? You know, and after a number of years, and I mean over a decade, it didn't take that long, but I still go to Al-Anon meetings. Even though I'm not with the alcoholic now, we never did end up getting married, but I would say that I can understand that now, because if it wasn't for that tragedy with the crazy insanity alcoholic type of relationship, I would have never gone into Al-Anon. And if I had never gone into Al-Anon, I would have never learned those 12 steps. And if I had never learned those 12 steps, I would never have a new way of living in every area of my life that brought me so much more peace and depth and understanding and joy. And not that it stops the suffering, but it certainly creates a new attitude, a new way of thinking and looking at things. And to get to your point, which I think is really powerful, You have to surround yourself in those transformation tools in order to continue and maintain those good habits. And like anything else, brushing your teeth, taking a shower, filling up your gas tank in your car, weeding your garden, you know, there are things that we do on a routine basis that probably are not as valuable as our own soul in many ways. And we need to tend the garden of our heart. And we're worth that effort. So really, Donna, keeping these changes and what you said about it not being easy, that's absolutely correct. But being miserable isn't easy either. So, you know, go and get something that's a return on your investment. And when you're around people that are engaged in the same energy level towards the same goal, it is much easier to ride that wave and follow that momentum and work with it than trying to do it alone. Because one of the things, and I know, you know, one of the things that's in my family history is depression. And depression, it's always in isolation. And that is why it is so important, as you said, to make sure you're around healthy, like-minded people that, you know, have what you want. 12-step programs are a great way of doing it.
I loved one of the stories. You're talking about transformational tools. I absolutely loved the brownie story. And I think that this mother was a genius. I just absolutely loved the brownie story. So I'm going to share it with my audience because, and I'm going to condense it a little bit because of our time. But basically, this is about a mom. She has kids. They are just absolutely driving her nuts because they'll say, well, we can do this because it's done on television. You know how kids are. They're always going to try to slip one past you. Well, the mother was frustrated because no matter what she said, they weren't listening. So she decided to make a suggestion. She said, why don't we make some brownies together? All the kids got, woo, we want brownies, one of their favorite foods. So she told them what they needed to get. Now, after the batter was all made, the kids say, okay, Mom can take it from here. They left. And all of these yummy brownies, they could smell them cooking, and oh, they knew they were going to be the most delicious things. After all, they had gone in, even though they had left Mom with all of the cleanup and everything else. So she put a plate of brownies in each one because they said, oh, Mom, are they ready now? She said, oh, yes, and they've cooled. So do you think you want some? Sure. So she put some on the plate in front of them. But before they could take a bite, Mom then says that she has a little bit of news for the kids. And she said, it's really important, children, that you wait before you eat your brownie. I just wanted to let you know, before you bite into your brownie, I added one more special ingredient before I put them into the oven for baking. Now, children, they're thinking, let's see, we put nuts in there, we had raisins. What could you possibly have put in that could ruin them? She said, all I did was go out into the backyard, find a little dog poop, just a little, and added it into the brownie batter. Now, that's just a teaspoonful. Don't worry. It was just a little bit, so it won't matter. I'm sure in comparison with all of the other delicious ingredients we put in, you won't even be able to taste the difference. And the moral to this mom's story is a little poop can ruin the whole recipe. I just love that story. Because that is, well, I think that's such a good illustration of how what we associate with, what we do to ourselves, can ruin our environment, our life. It can, a little bit of something, like a doctor told you, bullets are tiny, but boy, they do a lot of damage.
Yeah,
really good
Dr.
illustrations
Bill
in your book.
Always say
yeah,
it's
really
so
good
true.
Illustration.
You know, Donna, you said that so great. I love your inflections. You have such a great zeal about your voice, and it's so, you said it better than I would have. But, yeah, it's so true, isn't it? When we think about how much we take in with our eyes, our ears, the people we associate with, you know, all this energy, good and bad, we don't really think that it really has an effect on us if it's a little bit. But little things can make a big difference. And that story is a really powerful illustration of just that, which is why we really have to think about what we're thinking about. We have to think about who we associate with. Sometimes we have to prune those poison people out of our life. Sometimes it's not only what we have to do as a new habit, it's what we have to undo as a bad habit, the things that we have to make choices. And those choices are really, you know, it's a lot of, there's a lot of freedom in choices. And just think about those small things making a big difference. I mean, in the reverse side, you know, you do a small thing that's really good for you, and the more you do it, the success will breed the success. And then, you know, the action creates a feeling, which creates the good result that you want. And then the momentum builds on its own. But, you know, starting out sometimes to shift gears, sometimes that's the hardest part. But, you know, there's all sorts of, I love imagery. You can tell. I mean, I just love stories to illustrate points.
Oh, so do I. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, with your publication here, and again, you've got some more wonderful, wonderful stories. I really like the various exercises that you have throughout the book. And you have an attitude in your publication that I feel is very real, otherwise you wouldn't have written the book. And it's something I really believe in, that you must be aware of what you put into your head. You need to understand that it is the responsibility of one, the self, to discriminate about what you are going to choose to educate yourself about, what you're going to choose to listen to, read. It is so important. We have television, which I think is a fabulous medium, but you at least can turn the channel. Years and years ago, you didn't have much selection. Now you have buku selection. If you don't like what you see, turn it off. I had a friend I was talking with earlier today. She said, I don't watch television. I chose not to have one because, she said, I have other things to do with my time. And that's her choice. And she's very happy with that. I enjoy television because I like certain things, but there's other things I won't spend 5 cents of time with. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But that's my right. That's my choice. And I think that's so significant. We have to understand garbage in, garbage out. So we must be awake. We've got to pay attention. What is your website that people can go to so that people can learn more of your wonderful stories and find out about you?
Oh, well, thank you so much, Donna, and I totally agree with everything that you're saying. It's greenskyandbluegrass.com, green sky, all one word, and, spelled out, grass.com. And you'll find a motivational monthly newsletter that you can sign up for. There's a lot of different free resources and blogs and things like that. And then there's links to the radio show there and some other places. And then you'll be coming on, so I definitely want listeners to be able to call in and speak with you and hear about your story. I can't wait for that in August. So that's going to be a lot of fun, and people can stay posted on that as well. So that's the Best People We Know show. We'll have you on there. So that's that'll be a lot of fun.
Well, it is going to be fun, and I'm looking forward to being a guest on your show. I want to share a poem that you found that your mother had written, which I think is a great way to close out our interview. She wrote it to her own mother after her mother had passed away. It was your Nana. Your grandmother's name was Yvonne. And this is what she said. She said, the true love of a mother is indispensable, like a rose in bloom, like the smell of spring, like the whiteness of snow. The true love of a mother is indispensable, like a new baby, like the very first step. One of the things you close out your book with is to maximize the moment, live in the now, and don't wait to say I love you to those that you love. That it's very, very good. Your book is delightful. You have a wonderful product here. I wish you the best with it. Go to her website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. That's the website. Her book is The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, turning your upside-down world right side up. Deb Scott, Thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you, and lots of love, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be here, and you're awesome, Donna, and I'm looking forward to having you on the show, too. God bless. Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody.
Bye-bye. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, guess what? Tomorrow's the 1st of July. Holy Moses, how did June go by so fast? My gracious, it's just amazing. Well, tomorrow my guest is going to be Lynette Louise, Miracles Are Made, Real Life Guide to Autism. Now, this lady is quite interesting. Not only is she the parent of 8 children, but she had 4 little boys that were autistic. What she has been able to do and what she has learned is incredible. And it is something that is a fascinating topic, and I think you will enjoy the show. So I encourage you to tune in tomorrow, tell your friends. It's going to be rather unique. It's not the typical type of discussion regarding this condition that afflicts so many children that end up going into adulthood or can end up going into adulthood disabled because their brains don't function. So this is quite interesting. And then next week on the 4th of July, the Donna Sebo Show is going to be live on Monday. And then on Tuesday, we're going to be talking with Jerry Smith. His title is, Does God Give Us More Than We Can Bear? On Wednesday of next week, we're going to be talking about Rags to Rags. Richard Verkley is my guest. We are going to be discussing how he ended up becoming a millionaire after being in extreme poverty. Then we're going to be talking with another millionaire, Aaron Lapidus. He's a garage sale millionaire. He's going to have tips like you wouldn't believe. If you want to get rid of some items, want to learn how to buy and sell, maybe become something as, well, sort of like the Antiques Roadshow expert, well, he's going to give you some information on that. And then a week from tomorrow, we'll be talking about monsters of the Pacific Northwest. Oh, boy, we got a whole bunch of them here. Really makes for interesting reading. Michael Newton is going to be my guest. So that is our upcoming lineup. And my newsletter will be coming out shortly. And what I will be doing is listing the guests there and then also on the bbsradio.com website, all of the information will be there as well. So just keep your eyes open and you'll find out a whole bunch of stuff. hey, vacation time, maybe you're a business person, you're going to be on the road a lot. Well, there's a gal by the name of Jackie Cooler that has some real good suggestions about staying in shape when you're on the road. And boy, can I relate to that, because when you're on the road, you have irregular eating times. Sometimes you're sitting down at conferences and they have meals that you go, I would never eat this normally, but you eat it and you get to feeling bloated, uncomfortable. So how can you travel, whether it's on vacation or on a business trip, feeling like you're going to be able to fit into your clothes that you took on the trip, you're going to be able to wear them back because you're not going to expand your waistline by a couple of inches? Well, these are a few of her tips, and they're really pretty common sense tips. And she deals with what she calls the myths. One of the myths is don't eat after dinner if you're trying to lose weight. And she said it really doesn't make any difference what time of the day you eat, period. If you eat too many calories, well, you're eating too many calories. The body usually, dependent on your lifestyle, you are going to be more active with your metabolism earlier in the day. But there's no magic wand with this. Weight loss, she said, when you really get down to the bare bones, is a function of what and how much you eat, much more so than when you eat. She also said that in her research, she's found that there's a myth that if people go through detox, it's going to give them a jump start. She said, no, not really. What she gets concerned about when people use that, which a detox program, if ever you've been through one, it really is pretty rigid. And you just can't eat very much of anything, and your body, and she says this quite clearly, goes into a starvation mode. And what it does, it slows down your metabolism. So if you want to do something to cleanse your body, she said, eliminate bad for you processed foods and eat nutrient-dense foods. Don't starve your body, because the metabolism will slow down. It's amazing what the body does to conserve whatever energy it can. It does it all on its own without our instructing it. Also, she said, myth three, cutting carbs will help the pounds come off. Now, there's a lot of controversy about this, but she said that then the research that she's done, the weight loss that low-carb dieters achieve in the first 2 weeks of carbohydrate deprivation is measurable, not surprising. She said, carb cutting will cause the body to shed water weight because carbohydrates are stored in the body with water. The water weight will come right back on, and a yo-yo weight loss is counterproductive and bad for overall metabolism. One of the things when you're traveling that this statement about the carbs and water is very important. So if you stick with lighter fare when you're traveling, if you have your fruit, your vegetables, or your meat, stay away from the pizzas and all that stuff. And it doesn't have anything to do with salt. It just has to do with the fact that when you are traveling, your body will just hold on to those carbs. It's just amazing. I've experienced it so many times. And she said, myth number four, when you're traveling, don't think you can't have a dessert. Just remember the type of dessert. Now, if you're like me and you go, yeah, chocolate, chocolate, chocolate. She says, well, chocolate's fine. Just eat the real chocolate. Now, you don't want a pound and a half of super duper excellent vanilla ice cream with hot fudge sauce and nuts and this type of thing. I know I'm exaggerating, but there's a place in Las Vegas that my husband loves to go to because they fix sundaes that if you really wanted to get a sugar high, this is the place to go to get it. And it has all kinds of ooey gooey stuff in it, and the maraschino cherries and the walnuts and the hot fudge sauce. And you just go, you don't even want to talk. You just want to eat all this stuff. It's great. So in those situations, share it with about three or four people and you'll be way ahead. But really, chocolate is a wonderful way to satisfy that sweet tooth. So if you're on the road and if you want to have something sweet and just have a super duper chocolate bar. Have something that maybe can be broken into portions if that is something you're wanting to be attentive to. The chocolate is a great way. Good chocolate is a great way to really satisfy that sweet tooth when you're on the road. And in her mind's view, there's a lot of things that you need to be aware of. Fat has been given such a bad rap. She said it has been given such a horrible rap, where your butter, your real fats, your true fats, are really healthy for you, and more medical research is coming out with this. We are literally reversing, going back to the food patterns that 40 or 50 years ago were quite prevalent, using the real stuff. Don't use the margarine, use the butter. Use the real good stuff and enjoy your food. You don't need to eat pounds of it, you just need to make sure you have the real flavor. And I'll tell you something that I found, and that is when I have fat in my diet, I don't crave the carbs. Maybe you notice that with yourself, but fat really satisfies the body, and it's a very important substance to bring into the body. With women, it helps the hormonal levels. It is absolutely imperative to deal with real food, not the plastic stuff that not even flies go near. You want the real stuff. It makes a difference. Now, another point of information, because we are in summer right now, a lot of us are going to be going out to festive events. We're going to be enjoying food that people have prepared. You want to understand that you don't need to be concerned about foods that have mayonnaise in them. Believe it or not, and I was really surprised with this, mayonnaise in egg salad. I can remember when I was a kid, people would say, oh, this, you'll get food poisoning. You'll get food poisoning. Well, they think mayo, people in general, think mayo is the cause of foodborne illness from chilled foods like chicken, tuna, and egg salad or deli sandwiches. However, these are the facts. Mayonnaise is made with acid, vinegar, or lemon juice, and that prevents bacterial growth. Usually, it's the meat, poultry, fish, or eggs in a sandwich left unrefrigerated for more than 2 hours that becomes the medium for bacteria, not the mayo. Leftover fried chicken, anything that's left out of the fridge for more than 2 hours, could develop problems. If you have any doubts, especially during the hot weather, throw it out. You don't need to keep it. If you don't have a cooler chest, so you can have ice in it, or maybe you can have these special chests now where they have the units, you just pull them out, put them in the freezer, they're frozen, they keep everything nice and icy cold. You might want to take along fresh fruits, vegetables, hard cheeses, not soft cheeses, hard ones, dried meats, cereals, peanut butter, and bread, crackers, bottled drinks. You can find out if you really want to be in the know about this. There's a wonderful gal called Karen, and you can go to her site, which is m.askkaren.gov. Now, that's on your phone. You can use that. You can do that on your mobile phone. But you can also go to www.isit, it's actually isitdoneyet.gov, www.fightbacteria.org. There's a lot of information there. But it's really fascinating how we develop myths and understandings without really knowing the truth. So your commercial mayonnaises will not deteriorate the way we have always thought they would. I'll tell you, one of the times I got food poisoning, the only time I've ever had food poisoning, was when I went to a very fine restaurant and they had a Sunday buffet. This buffet had a portion where you got eggs. This was situated under a skylight and it was like 100 and some odd degrees outside. So the heat coming through that skylight down onto the food was phenomenal. And it was eggs that had been sitting in that buffet style environment. I got food poisoning from it. And it was just an incredible experience that I never choose to repeat again, as any person who's gone through something like that has had. You just never, ever want to go through it. It's horrible. But the thing is, heat, temperature, outdoor temperatures, wherever you might be, we don't have to worry about that in the Northwest today. We're freezing up here. But that's beside the point. The thing is, it can cause a problem for you. So storage of food on the holiday, and the 4th of July is just around the corner. Be wise, enjoy yourself, have a good time, but be aware, food can spoil, especially if in your real hot temperatures like Arizona, Florida, wherever you are, Texas. I mean, there's a lot of places in the country that are experiencing high temps. We're not here in the Pacific Northwest. We've got the heat on in the house. But that's just the way it goes. Every place has its weather fronts, but be aware, you can have a safe summer. By the way, if you want to give me a buzz, 888-815-9756. We're going to come back in just a moment.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Every time I think I've heard just about everything, I find there's a lot more I have not heard about. I thought I would share with you a couple of fun things. Can you imagine getting a telephone bill for $218 trillion? Well, that's exactly what happened to a gentleman by the name of Yahawa Wahab. He received a phone bill for $218 trillion from Telecom Malaysia for recent calls that had been made on the telephone line of his dead father. Yes, his father was dead. Strange things going on. They gave him initially 10 days to pay up or face prosecution. However, when he called to let them know that the line that they were billing him for belonged to his father, who had been dead for a while, the company thought they might want to check that out. Woohoo! Then, this one I got a kick out of. There was a Romanian man. He had a debt of $3,500. He wasn't able to pay it. So, to take care of his debt, he handed over his wife for the repayment. Well, you haven't heard the rest of the story. The guy's name was Emil. He signed a document stating that his wife, Daniela, would live with an elderly creditor by the name of Yosef. Now, his wife wasn't insulted. This is just unbelievable. She actually was delighted with the negotiation because she said she no longer had to clean up after her lazy husband. Just when you think you've heard it all, you find you haven't. Ah, yes, as the world turns, there's always something interesting going on. Well, I had told you I was going to share a story with you about a dog and a woman who owned the dog. The dog's name is Lily. And Jessie is a 15-year-old, and her story, I just think, is absolutely awesome. And this is one when it's a story about how something that comes into a person's life can shift their perspective. And with Lily, the dog, I've got a picture of the dog right in front of me. It's one of the sweetest dogs. It looks like it's a mixture of a basset and another hound type. It's just a beautiful, beautiful dog. But the story is about this 15-year-old who sees this dog who's running around and is lost, wants to rescue it, and she ends up taking time to convince her parents to let her have the dog. And she's so sick because she's had to have surgery to remove an overactive lymph node. This had been pressuring a nerve in her leg and was causing her excruciating pain. That's why she had to go through the surgery. Well, it had taken a toll on the whole family. There were medical bills. The idea of bringing a dog into the household when there was nothing to spare was not something that the family was too enthusiastic about. But Jesse had been saving money for quite a long time. In fact, she had saved hundreds of dollars. She had saved enough where she was going to be able to get a new car when she turned 16. She had money to pay for her license. But she opted instead to take care of this dog that she saw that was a stray, had been badly injured, and Lori said, "We need to think about this, Jesse." Lori's her mom. She said, "Nope, I know what I want to do." And the family said, "This is your money. You can do what you want." Now, the dog had been put at the Humane Society. The shelter was going to be euthanizing this dog because no one wanted her. They didn't have the funds to help her get the surgeries and the repair work needed. So this poor dog is suffering terribly. And it wasn't that old a dog. It was really more like a puppy. Well, Jesse took this dog. When they got the dog to the vet, they found the dog had its skull fractured. This puppy had been really badly beaten. The left eye of this puppy had been knocked out of its socket. And when she found out about the extent of this dog's injuries, she was just appalled. So here we have a teenager who knows how to use the social network. And by golly, she was letting people know what's going on with this dog. People started hearing about it. People started sending her money so that she could have this dog get the medical care it needed. This dog today is her dearest companion. She is herself, Jessie is, not able to do a lot of the things that she used to be able to do because of the surgeries she's had to go through. She's not able to be involved in sports. But what has happened is that because of this dog, because of everything that this young woman has done with this animal, the social interaction with other people, it has given her a purpose that is absolutely empowered the entire family. Jesse says, "People think I have saved the dog. They give me credit for it." But she said, "With everything I was going through, what was happening with my family, the financial problems, everything that we were going through, having a focus about a wonderful dog, that enabled me to really see how I could make life a better situation." She said, "Lily and I were meant to be together." It's a wonderful story. And it's not only just a true story, it's a reality of life. Sometimes we get so self-centered with what isn't working in our lives, we forget that there are things that we can do that involve us with other people that can enable us to back away from feeling that the universe has thrown us in the toilet somewhere and decided to try to flush us away. It doesn't work that way. Life is full of experiences, just like my guest was talking about today, and we just need to be able to grow through them. We're out of time. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a magnificent life. And wherever you are, have fun. Have a good time. Life is meant to be smiled at. Talk with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.